This is episode 4, Where's the Fun?
Hello and welcome yet again to Games at Work. This is episode 00004. We're calling WTF, as in Where's the Fun? So we've got a fun show for you because that's what we do here at Games at Work. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you from my Chapel Hill headquarters location. And with me today is my good friend and co-host, Michael Rowe.
Hey, Michael. Good day to you, too. Good day, sir. Good day.
Good day.
Click.
So we're missing Andy, so we'll have to do the requisite, you know, fake accents here and there, you know, to just make him feel like he's really missed.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually on a call yesterday working on a project, and for some reason, the other guy on the call started breaking into accents, and I said, I do accents too. And so we did a half hour call bouncing back and forth between different accents because we wanted to have some fun with the project we were working on.
And you just probably insulted dozens of different, you know, various groups around the world, right?
All different groups around the world.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
So every one of them.
We won't do that here. Tempting as that may be. but we have a show. All right, so we've got a couple of things here to talk about today. And from your find this morning, Instamatch, this new game, seemed to be super, super cool.
Well, the key thing here is that many of our millions of listeners are familiar with Instagram. We've talked about it over the past show episodes. And Instagram is a great photo sharing tool and site that allows you to put different filters on pictures, make them look like really bad early 70s Kodak. What was it called? You wave the film.
Instamatic.
Instamatic pictures. And, you know, there's a great community there. It's very vibrant, lots of great pictures. I think I'm on it. Actually, I know I'm on it. I don't know if you are. I know Andy's on it. There's some great.
It's more than I am. I played with it a little bit.
One of the really nice things is there's some cool pictures. So they just released a game by a company called Tiny Hearts that does the old memory game, if you remember as a kid, using pictures.
Yeah, the cards you flip over and try to find a match, right? And then if you miss, you flip them both over and the other person gets a turn.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing about Instamatch is it's not actually direct matches. So what they do is they're scanning the Instagram photo streams and allowing you to match things based off of your own photos or, you know, searching based off of hashtags, et cetera. And the idea, my opinion here, is improving the tagging of pictures, like the old Google tool that we talked about a couple episodes ago. The other more devious aspect, again, in my limited and unbiased opinion, but I think this is really, really cool, is let's say I took a picture at our favorite coffee shop, and I allowed it to have geolocation information.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's a picture of a coffee mug. Now, you are playing the game and you have a picture in your stream of the same coffee mug.
Yeah,
but
so
you
not,
don't include any of the geolocation tagging.
Yes. Okay, continue. I think I know where you're going, but continue.
So now, if it's a match and you match it and somebody else plays the game and they match the two, they start gaining geolocation information about photos in the various streams, right?
Okay, continue. I'm coming at it from a different angle, but please.
So now I've got information about I've got information about where you, whoever took the second picture, who did not have geolocation information, have been taking pictures. I've now gotten an ability to track your photos and their location.
Well, not just track the photos. You get to track the person.
Well, of course. You took them.
Right. Or someone borrowed my phone to take them.
It doesn't matter. As far as the system is concerned, you are your phone. You is your phone. You be your phone.
we'll
you and your phone are one.
We'll conjugate that.
what's the phrase? It's resistance is futile. You have been assimilated.
If less than one ohm.
But by the way, I'm looking at the article. It's pretty funny. and there's a link off to the side about Joustin Beaver app. Have you heard about this?
No.
So this company in Canada created an app called Joustin Beaver. And it's a hipster young beaver guy floating down a river poking things on the side. And the business of Justin Bieber have sued them. Gave them a cease and desist.
You might be confused.
You might be confused between a cartoon beaver and a cartoonish singer.
Well, what about Williams? You know, the guys who made the incredible games of Joust and Joust 2, they might have a beef with this as well.
I think they should. Because if you use jousting in any aspect, it has to be copyrighted by, you know, King Arthur 0625 AD.
Yeah, well, yeah, his estate, he's got some lawyers like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, Andy, you know, in the thought process of the royalty in Great Britain, perhaps they would have some words upon that.
Maybe so. Well, let me tell you where I thought you were going, and then you swerved.
That's the fun.
Well, yes, it is. So here's the variation on the Instamatch game that where I thought you were going, which was, all right, you take a picture at our favorite coffee shop of a coffee mug, right? Oh, you're on mute. That's great.
Yes, I do.
I do. And then I could take a picture of, say, you know, our favorite barista at said coffee shop. And
yes,
then we could play the game of Instamatch where that coffee mug and that barista would be a match because it's not just image, it's location, location,
location. Location. And everybody knows that the location's going to go where the location's going to go. No, that
I didn't
work.
Say that. You said that. No, but wouldn't that be fun too? Well, right? A variation on the game where it's not just matching, oh, that's a lighthouse and that's another lighthouse. They're not the exact lighthouse, but it's a match because of the hash or the tag or whatever. But it could be a location-based similarity game and there might be like, oh, I didn't know that was there.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing here is the types of things that match all become an expansion of the information in the pictures. So you end up getting more and more granular information and perspective on pictures.
Right.
Than just, you know, we both took a picture of a lighthouse.
Yes.
And that, again, is kind of interesting.
Kind of interesting, indeed. So that is a fun game. I think I will buy it and I will play it a little bit. I did like Memory growing up. I did play it quite a lot. And this is an interesting new twist. A twist.
A twist. With a lemon twist. Remember what movie that's from?
The lemon twist, yes. The California Steve Martin.
L.A. story.
L.A. story. Half calf, decaf with a twist or something like that.
With a twist.
With a twist.
So, twist. Twist.
My contribution to today comes from the book called Game On.
Actually, from what I can see in the video, it just says game.
Oh, if I hold it back like this, it says game on. So as I was traveling around in the last week and change, I was reading this book. And one of the things
you just the way you are.
Well, what caught my eye was designing progress systems. You know, this is a portion of the book that talks about there are various ways of highlighting progress as you go through, you know, start, next, middle, completion. And games and game capability show progress in a variety of different ways. So what I wanted to ask you, Michael, was the big question of when you think about progress indicators, what have been your favorite visualizations of progress indicators and why?
The spinning beach ball, because there is no progress. the spinning hourglass because the machine is completely locked up and there's no progress.
So you like those?
No.
Why do you like?
I don't like them at all.
The hourglass.
I don't like either of them. Let me see. The progress bar right, is interesting because I learned how to program one of those many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Let me see. The leveling mechanics in many games are a great indicator of progress.
Right, right. Because yeah, they level show, and level 7.
Yeah. They show skills improvement. I guess it depends on what the task is. I guess it depends on what the task is.
Yeah.
Right? So if my task is something that's time dependent, then the visualizations I like tend to be time centric. An hourglass, a countdown clock, a circle that's slowly filling up in a radial pattern.
Yes, right? Things of that nature.
If they are skill dependent, some kind of ladder or some kind of graduated going up type visualization, which is interesting because in games like World of Warcraft or Star Wars The Old Republic Online or Star Wars On the Line Republic, whatever, Swatter. I haven't had time to play it much because I've been playing too much Skyrim.
Yeah, well, you know.
And Skyrim has the same thing. That the leveling mechanic is not going up. It is a graduated bar going to the right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of not a good visualization for me. What about you?
You know the time one, the one that I like the best too is the clock reference of the pie either filling or decreasing depending on whether it's time elapsing or time remaining. I think that is, it has the nice synergy, and the circle really helps with that. I like with the acquisition of things that turn into blocks. You know, so when I think about skills and the like, think for a moment about Risk. Right, the old Risk with the wooden pieces where your armies were these blocks, and then you could replace them with the bigger blocks as you went along. So yes, like
the one jobbers and the 10 jobbers.
Yes. Yeah. So I like that kind of visualization too. I like the red, yellow, green stoplight kind of bars, you know, when you think about health as an indicator too. You know, what's remaining? You don't
What's
like
remaining of your health? Well, I'm feeling good today. I was able to get out of bed and have a coffee, and so I'm feeling kind of yellow. It could be jaundice.
All right, so somehow we managed to get lots of our sounds in here anyway.
Yes.
But I like those because they kind of give you the sense of when you're approaching a warning zone and you need to really watch out and be careful for them.
Have a fever, so that's red. Your jaundice, that's yellow. You're about to puke, that's green.
Think about energy levels, right? You know, or things that will consume, right? You know, stock, safety stock, you know, you could think about it in those kinds of terms as well. Yeah, you're going, no, no, no.
No, I'm not a supply chain guy. I don't understand that fancy talk. Your supply chain references, they confuse me. I'm just a caveman.
I also
fire
like
bad.
The Grey's Anatomy.
Grey kinds, bad.
the kinds of references of being able to peel things on and off, right?
Yeah? What do you mean peel things on and off?
Well, so in Grey's Anatomy, like very famous the
old,
book.
Yeah, well, the old Encyclopedia Britannica had it too. It had the human body, and you could peel off clear layers of like skin and muscle and tissue and sinew and nervous system and skeletals. And then you just – what would the last layer be?
Air, because that's what's behind you.
The back of the skin.
The back of the skin. The hair follicles from the inside.
I guess it depends on – are you cutting from top to bottom through the body? Like a MRI machine, or are you cutting slices like a at a butcher shop, and you're making luncheon meat?
I think that it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, right? You know, there have been examples of cars, for example, where you have the sideways cut of them so you can see how they're constructed and how they're made and what's where.
Yep.
There are other ones where, depending on what the use is, if you're using the same car but you're trying to do some sort of a crash or damage assessment or safety assessment, you might want to go instead of vertically, you would want to go horizontally instead. So I those are some of the and I like the way of being able to peel on and peel off, because what that allows, in at least for me, is the rapid visual comparison between states.
Yes, and peel on, peel off, peel on, peel off.
Nice movie reference. The accent doesn't work with that one.
Well, I was trying not to be too bad on that one.
So the concept of game and game mechanics and game visualization for showing on dashboards or for showing on other information systems, how a system is performing, how inventory levels are looking, how, you know, responders are responding, what time dependencies and the like, this is all good.
So as we're talking about progress here, I've been playing Skyrim.
Precious little.
And precious little progress on this thought process. So I was trying to figure out where are we going with this topic and what's our progress. And you were describing in between segments of the show your thought process. So go ahead and bring us up.
Yeah. And look, Phaedra came online too. So my thought on progress material and the way that progress material can be used can be either used as a nice little infographic that's easy to grok, you know, and work with, or it can turn into something that winds up getting overly cutesy that just doesn't quite belong. And I've seen examples of both, right? I've seen examples where without maybe saying the one specific one I'm thinking of, where the progress indicator has absolutely nothing to do with the task at hand.
You mean like in some of the fighting games, the progress is your face getting all bloody?
Or a car racing game where the car gets kind of dented up as you bang into things? No, those are definitely related.
And those are good because you realize that you're losing something that's important. So your car may drive worse because it's now all banged up and it's going – and the tires are going wobbly, 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 wobbly.
Right. That's good. And you know, an audio indicator of something, you know, along those lines, that's good too. Yes. So when you install things, you get a progress bar. But there are ways of doing some things that are fun, I think, as well. And if you can add the element of fun, kind of like you are right now, trying to add an element of fun. So I'm closing my eyes, so I'm not even watching.
Not even watching the video. So this is the first time in a long time that we've actually recorded the show while having a video camera going. We're not going to publish the video camera because I'm not recording it.
Yeah, well, that's just as well. You don't need to see what I look like today.
Yes. I definitely have a face for radio.
Yes. I agree.
The birds. Look at the birds.
Where I was going.
Things that don't match up and are cutesy.
Yeah, that I think is wrong.
Like one. You were given an example and then you kind of self-censored yourself.
Yeah, I self-censored myself in the end.
Uncensored.
The point is that you want the progress indicator to relate to the task at hand. And ideally, you can make it fun. And when you make it fun, then you're actually paying more attention to the progress too.
Yes.
And that's where I'm heading.
So a good example of a cutesy one that I think has nothing to do with the task at hand. What would be a good one?
I can only think of one that just annoyed me, and it's not worth mentioning here. What game is it in? Oh, it's not even in a game.
That's the problem. If it were fun, it would be in a game.
Yeah, but it's a gamified process, and it's like this is just silly. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, I know what it is.
So it's what horrible. About if you had, you know, think about this. We just got a Kindle.
Yes.
And
is it on Kindle, fire?
No, it's not on fire.
Okay.
It's a birthday present. Yes. And the Kindle, actually, I haven't even looked at this yet. What's the progress indicator look like for how many pages you are into a book?
Dots, it's just a number, isn't it? No, it's dots on the bottom of the page, and some dots get darker. And then there is a screens of screens and a page of page, depending on which version of the software it's running.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Because if you follow the Goodreads forums for various book reading clubs, they tend to do things like identify percentage completion on a book because the people are reading the book via Audible, or they're reading it on a Kindle or on iBooks, and some of them have pages and some of them don't, and the pages change depending on whether you're in what the resolution of your pixels are for the typeface, or are you holding it horizontally or vertically, portrait mode or whatever. So it gets really difficult. So percentages is probably the most accurate way for most people to talk about the reading experience nowadays.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So you would say if we were reading a book together, I'm at 38% complete.
Yes.
And that's where I saw this really neat passage.
Yes. Or actually what I would do on the Kindle app.
Is it precise enough?
What I would do on the Kindle app is I would highlight the text and click share. And it would send a tweet to you that says, Michael Rowe is on this location in the book.
Huh, interesting. But that would then only translate into potentially other Kindle users?
Somebody else who's running a Kindle. Ah, there's something fun. I just convinced you to buy a Kindle to get that book.
No, you didn't.
I know.
Yes, you did. No, you didn't.
I got a rock.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing the guitar riff right now.
Yeah. And I was talking about Charlie Brown, and you're hearing, I got a rock!
Yes. Sorry about that. Huh. So these progress indicators are important in many aspects of our lives, aren't they?
Yep. You know where I want a progress indicator?
Where?
I want a progress indicator on the water filter in my fridge.
Yes.
I drink a lot of water in the little filtered water system in our fridge, and we just got a new fridge. The old one, the placement of the filter that you had to swap out was really awkward in the back up at the top, and I'd always forget, when did I put it in? They say change it like every 6 months.
Right.
Did I change it? Did I forget to change it? Blah, 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 blah. The new one is really easy to access at the bottom front of the fridge, but I still have – And their site recommends replacing it after X number of gallons of water. How the heck am I supposed to figure out that I just consumed X number of gallons of water without any progress indicator? Do I have to keep a little ticky mark on the screen? I take my stone in my prison and I scratch into the front of the fridge.
You could do that.
Like, I'm in jail. Water jail. That can be boring. As in water boring.
Oh,
that was a bad joke. Okay, there was no fun in that joke.
So you're also reminding me of here is the thermostat that was created what's it called? Nest.
Yes.
Nest's the little product, eggy right? thing. Well, yeah, the circle thing, right?
Yeah, that kind of over time learns your patterns and adjusts your thermostat. By the way, there was a great blog post this week that ePredator did, Ian Hughes, on his energy consumption over the last 5 years. He has one of those tracking meters, and he actually published a blog post saying, you know, it's pretty amazing how much his energy consumption has gone down over time.
And in his post, what did he attribute that to? Sorry for the pop there.
Being stuff. I don't know. I read the post. I was drinking coffee. I hadn't woken up yet, but it was a good post. We'll include a link to that post in the show notes.
Well, I just popped in the thermostat concept here. the Nest thermostat. And this is a space where, okay, this is kind of cool, right? You know, how often do you think about your thermostat? In fact, in our home, I don't know about yours, but we have two thermostats upstairs and downstairs.
Yes.
And they're both relatively hidden.
Oh, ours are right where I can see them.
One's hidden behind a door.
Why?
And the other one is hidden behind the door when the door is open.
One's behind the door and the other one's behind another door.
Well, we have a little cabinet-y thing in our hallway, and that was built, you know, to be right exactly where it was. And because we didn't want to move the thermostat and the electrical da-da-da-da-da, we just built it around where the thermostat is. So there's a mesh, you know, door that allows air to circulate in there. And so the thermostat's accurate and can control the temperature. But, you know, it's hidden. You don't see it day to day. But, you know, this is an interesting thing that it does show you progress and towards attainment of being more green.
Yes. Yes. So, man, I'm trying to find Ian's post. Maybe it was a Facebook posting that he did. But it was really interesting.
How? Really?
Yeah.
Super interesting?
It was super cool.
All right. Well, I'm about talked out on this topic. I am too.
I think our progress on this topic has been complete. We would like to hear from you on your thoughts of progress indicators and memory games and WTF. Where's the fun? I would say progress indicators can be fun, and some of them can be incredibly boring.
and that's our conclusion for this week.
Thank you very much. So, I guess what else we got going on? I think we need some tunes for this week's show, and I believe it's your choice this week.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Yes.
Well, then I'll have to ask my son to pull out his MIDI rig and whip us up some tunes.
That would be cool. I think we should do that. Considering episode 2 was my music that I wrote. So,
yay.
What did you think of it? Was it horrible?
No, it was quite good. The episode 2 was good music.
Yeah.
I liked episode 1 music myself, personally.
Yes, and I reached out to the guys there, too.
I know. That was very awesome.
So, matter of fact, I was watching their feed, and they've been doing some touring lately.
Oh?
Yes.
Cool.
So go follow them on Facebook. They have a great Facebook page on all the music that they're doing around video games.
Awesome. Well, we should definitely put a link in there to thank them once again for our first episode's music.
Yes, and Andy, we hope you're having a good time today doing what you're doing when you do what you do today.
Yes.
And everybody else, we hope you had a great time listening to the show. We want your feedback. Come to our website, which is gamesatwork.biz, which will redirect you still. We're still working on that to the old Dog Ear Nation site. We also want to hear from you on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, you'll see our new logo in the iTunes feed. And Ooh. Go ahead and post comments. Rate us. We want to hear your feedback. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, MySpace, Foursquare, Pinterest. If you find some great Pinterest entries, go ahead and follow us there. I don't know how many of these were actually on anymore, but I figured I'd throw it out there. I guess that's it.
I guess it is. I was just looking for our Games at Work link here, and I'm excited to see the imagery.
Isn't it cool? It's very nice.
Yeah, there it is. How about that? Awesome.
Cool. So thanks, everybody, and bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at gamesatwork_BIZ.